coming up on Railbird Central, we have an interview with former pro quarterback Jordan Rodgers, now a pro quarterback mentor and the brother of Packers Aaron Rodgers. But first, we're talking NFL draft with Scott McKenna. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Green Bay Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We've got an interview coming up with Jordan Rodgers, brother of Aaron Rodgers, coming up. But first, to kick off the show,
interview,
we have Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack blog, making his usual monthly engagement appearance here at Cheesehead TV. Scott, how you doing this morning?
I'm great, Brian, and a good Friday to you.
Yes, yes, to anybody who celebrates the holiday, observes this holiday, enjoy it. I kind of understand it's not really the type of holiday to really be celebrating, perhaps, but maybe you save that for Easter. But anyway, we got Packers football to talk about. In the news since our last episode on Wednesday, Jamari Lattimore signs with the New York Jets, and the transformation at inside linebacker continues in Green Bay. So, Scott, I guess to start off here, my question is, how much does Clay Matthews play inside linebacker this year? Because really, I'm kind of torn. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, as we've mentioned in past conversations, I just believe that Clay Matthews has the talents and the gifts to be as good as any inside linebacker in the game. And with that being said, I really hope they use Matthews in a similar role as they did over the second half of the year last year. And I hope that becomes the role that Matthews plays on the inside, on first and second down, and then on those obvious passing downs, moving him to the outside where he can really use his speed to apply pressure on the quarterback. But, not sure how much Lattimore's departure really impacts any decisions that would be made over the next month, as he seemed to be phased out of the inside linebacker role as the season progressed, and then had injuries as well. But I'm not sure how much of an impact that will really make on decisions that will be made here in the coming weeks. But definitely envision a role for Matthews that will be, this upcoming year, that was similar to how he finished last year.
Yeah, I totally buy that. I guess I'm just kind of referencing the bigger picture in that the depth from last year at inside linebacker is now gone. Not only Lattimore, but Hawk and Jones are gone as well. And now kind of it's going to be a new look. I'm kind of there. I think the Packers are kind of taking a little bit of a wait and see approach with how the draft plays out. Like, all of a sudden, if they draft, one of the top rated inside linebackers, well, maybe then you're not going to rely on Clay Matthews on the inside as much. But if they address cornerback or something in the first round and don't, end up getting that inside linebacker till later, well, maybe Clay Matthews plays there a little more. But there was one other piece of news yesterday that kind of came out, reported that Baylor quarterback Bryce Petty is making a pre-draft visit to the Packers. I want to know, what do you make of this? Because the types of players the Packers bring in for pre-draft visits aren't usually this highly touted. So just what's your off-the-cuff reaction? How do you react to this?
I'd say first and foremost that, it's clear the Packers have a need to add a third quarterback to the roster. Right now they've got, two guys on the roster. Petty can clearly whip the ball around, had a great statistical career at Baylor. Sees the field well, used all of his receivers, and had a good toughness to him. So You know, with that being said, he clearly could, you know, fit a need that the Packers would have as a developmental quarterback behind Rodgers, and with Tolzien only being around for 1 year at this stage, it's worth keeping your eyes on. Is it the development to where I see Petty as an early round pick for the Packers, a third or fourth round pick for the Packers? I'd be surprised if the Packers made that sort of investment this year in a quarterback, because I do think that Tolzien will be in green and gold for the coming years, especially if he performs as well in this training camp in preseason as he did last year. But it's definitely noteworthy that they would be spending one of their precious pre-draft visits with a big name quarterback like Petty, no doubt.
All right, speaking of the NFL draft, that's where we're going to spend the rest of our interview talking about here. And, Scott, the last time we talked was just before the start of free agency. And at the time, Tremont Williams and Devon House were still under contract with the Packers. We didn't know whether or not they'd be back. There was a possibility they could both be back at the time. But as we saw how things played out, Devon House, now a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tremont Williams, a member of the Cleveland Browns, and now cornerback is one of the positions with the least depth on the entire Packers roster. So we're going to kind of go through some of the top cornerback prospects in this year's NFL draft. I asked Scott to rank them for me. If he was Ted Thompson and he would, you know, be considering these guys, who's still on the board, who's available, how would you rank these cornerbacks? And we're going to kind of go through them, at least the top ones here, one by one. And Scott, I don't think Trey Waynes of Michigan State is going to be available, and I don't think you think that either. But, I mean, just in a, you know, somehow it happens that he slips to 30 or who knows, maybe the Packers trade up even. I don't know. It would be a no-brainer. He's the first guy, though.
Undoubtedly, he's the best all-around cornerback in the draft. 4.3 speed, play on the outside. You can put him on an island. He jams at the line of scrimmage with great confidence. He's a Wisconsin boy, which you know is pretty cool. Yeah, but he's when he runs, he sees the football. He's got great footwork. You know, it won't happen, but he would be the ideal player for the Packers to add in the draft. I think if you could give me one player. You know, especially with what we just talked about with the depth at cornerback, you know, compared to any other position, we're just so thin at that position right now. You know, Waynes would undoubtedly be the guy that if you could just pick one player to as a plug and play in the rookie season who would make the biggest impact on the roster as it sits today, I think Waynes would be that guy. But little to no chance that you know, that he'll end up in Green Bay this year.
Yeah, I'm totally there with you. I think he would be, he's my number one guy. I think he'd be great. I think it's a no-brainer if somehow he gets to 30. I don't know how that happens. But anyway, I think he's really good. Comes from the Michigan State program, Mark D'Antonio, and the emphasis they place on the defensive side of the football. Very aggressive brand of football they play. So, yeah, I like Trey Waynes as well. All right, your number two guy, Marcus Peters from the University of Washington, just actually had his pro day yesterday on campus. Now we're getting into the territory where these guys could maybe be available. I'm not sure if the number two cornerback comes off the board before 30 or not, but there's at least a chance.
You know, here's the thing with Peters, Brian. If he didn't have those attitude issues that were, it seems like, heavily on display inside Washington's locker room and on the sidelines, he could potentially, in my mind, be a top 10 pick in this draft. He's got all the tools. He's physical. Like Waynes, he'll jam you at the line of scrimmage. He's got great on-field swagger. He's got great confidence. He believes in himself almost to a fault. You know, and when you look at his weaknesses, you say, well, he's not a locker room guy. Well, what better environment to step into than the respected, seemingly unflappable environment that is the Green Bay Packers locker room? Great locker room camaraderie. Players seem to be in lockstep with one another. And it might be the one environment that Peters could really step in and find a home. And if he doesn't go to Green Bay and he's around at number 30, it wouldn't shock me if New England were to grab him at number 31, because mm-hmm. I think they've got that same type of environment. And I just really feel like Peters could be the type of player that if you brought him into a locker room that positioned him for success and really focused on his on-field talents, you know, Peters could step in and have a Pro Bowl-type performance early in his career. And the other thing that I think we really have to highlight, the Packers lost a lot over the last month with Devon House and Tremont Williams, and it can't be understated, especially Williams. Williams is a playmaker for the Packers that seemingly every year made a game-changing play that, and this year it might have even been a season-turning play against the Jets, where they were down, 21-9, and they were 0-1, and the Jets seemed to be driving late in the first half to bring the Packers to an 0-2 start to a season. Williams picks off the pass, and we know how the rest of that game went. You know, the Packers lost a veteran leader, you know, a guy who had a penchant for making big plays, and you know, that's a big hole that needs to be filled. And I, you know, if Peters is on the board at number 30, that will be Ted Thompson's going to have a tough decision to make, because, you know, on-field performance, there's no doubt that Peters is the guy in my mind that would need to be selected. You know, just got to get past the attitude issues.
Yeah, I'm always so, I think there's a chasm of difference between a first round pick and a second round pick. And if Peters is there in the second round, I don't hesitate in a second. But I think that being a first round pick kind of strokes a player's ego, in that they think they're worth all that and a bag of chips, and you just worry about these issues and that they could crop up later. I was there at the NFL Combine, and he did seem humbled by what happened at the University of Washington. Basically, kind of, it really took responsibility for it, which is good to see. I mean, that sometimes means nothing. I mean, last year at the NFL Combine, the Oregon tight end there, Colt Lierla, kind of in the same boat, and it, you know, he ends up kind of relapsing into trouble later on. But for what it's worth, Marcus Peters seemed humbled. I just worry that, again, he could be the next Colt Lierla, where problems crop up at a later point, albeit in a different manner. Anyway, to get through this list here, your number three guy, Jalen Collins of LSU. He's long, he's got athletic ability, but he's relatively inexperienced, only 10 career starts. Not even the equivalent of one full season, but what do you like in Jalen Collins, Scott?
Yeah, there's a limited sample size on him. There's no doubt about it, but he's definitely a favorite of mine. First and foremost, got to point out that he rocks the dreadlocks that flow so favorably in Tettle County, USA. You know, so that's a fun piece for me. And yes, there's limited film. Started 10 games. But there's no doubt he's aggressive. In some ways, he reminds me of Tremont Williams a little bit. He plays like Tremont, more aggressive than Tremont. Mm-hmm. But the way he runs, the way he moves, the way he gets in and out of his breaks, the way he steps up and runs support, that he's a more willing and physical tackler than Tremont. I also think that, but the way he moves, it really reminds me of Tremont Williams. I love the way Jalen Collins plays and runs support. Packs a punch when he tackles, plays with force. He can run. I mean, the dude ran a 4.48 mm-hmm. at the combine with a fractured foot. I mean, are you kidding me? you know, it's on deep routes, he turns and sees the ball. It's just he's the one player that when I watch what's out there as far as film on him, I just think that Joe Witt would be salivating to have the opportunity to work with this guy. And when I look at realistically who I think will be available at number 30, the two guys that, because I think Peters will end up going before number 30, but the two guys that I target as picks at number 30 are Stephon Anthony, as we talked a month ago, and Jalen Collins. And those guys are sort of 1A and 1B on my target list for who I see the Packers selecting when we get to the end of the first round. in the draft coming up in a couple weeks.
I like Jalen Collins as well. I think people, if you're going to dismiss somebody simply because they're inexperienced, I don't think that's necessarily a good reason. You see it all the time. People make mistakes. Maybe LSU was making a mistake by not playing Jalen Collins more. I'm not really sure why they didn't, if they really felt the other players were that much better than him. I mean, it's not like Jalen Collins didn't play at all. Yeah, I mean, even though he's got 10 starts, he was playing in their sub packages and things like that. So it's not like he wasn't playing whatsoever, just not a full-time starter in their system. But to keep us going here, your number four guy, Kevin Johnson out of Wake Forest. I admit, of like the top 7-8 cornerbacks, I kind of saved Kevin Johnson for last and have really watched probably the least film on him, that I'm kind of a little bit unknown. The one thing I do know, he's kind of one of a little bit of a smaller guy. I heard he played as light as 170 pounds, or 70 some pounds, his senior year in college. He's got to overcome the size issues. Can he do that, Scott?
Yeah, you know, he's a lot like Sammy Swagger, Sammy Shields. You know, I think he's got, he maybe plays a little bit bigger than he looks. And, you know, he's great coming in and out of his breaks, Brian. I really like the way that he turns and runs. He's got, you know, he does have the height that Thompson would target, you know, 5'11", I believe, and sort of the number that Thompson looks for, 5'11 to 6'1", is what you see in the number, the majority of Thompson cornerbacks as far as height is concerned. And, you know, my one thing that did concern me a little bit is, he only ran a 4.52 at the, and I don't mean only, but he ran a 4.52 at the combine. But he seems to play faster than that.
Yeah,
and when I watch him, he seems to run, be able to turn and run with cornerbacks. He's very fluid in his movements, and I think that you know, when he's the type of guy that, you know, when Capers calls those defenses that leaves a corner on an island, I think that Johnson can play that. Just with the way he can turn and run and the way he moves, and he seems nimble on his feet. So I wouldn't be overly disappointed if he were the guy at number 30. I think he's definitely on a short list of people that would have to be considered should he be available at number 30, and I do envision him being there. Makes good plays on the ball. You know, he wasn't a turnover king, but he absolutely did make plays on the ball and did find the football. So, you know, impressed with him. Think that he's a guy that the Packers would have to consider at number 30.
Yeah, in my limited knowledge of him, I do think Kevin Johnson is a guy who does run faster than he times and plays bigger than his size, which are good traits, definitely.
Yep.
But next, your number five cornerback, Byron Jones of UConn, the world record holder in the broad jump. But I think people are torn. Is he simply a workout warrior, or is he actually a football player?
That's the question. You know, no doubt that he has that ideal size speed combination. And, you know, if you put him in the gym, he's going to look better than anybody. You know, in his track suit, he's a king. He might, in fact, if you looked at everybody from January to April, Byron Jones might be the number one prospect, right? He's really elevated his status, you know, since the college season ended. He definitely looks the part. I think where he could really step in and help the Packers out is you look at the weaknesses on the roster right now, and you know, we know Sammy can play on the outside. Whether Hayward can or can't is a question mark. Hayward he definitely can play in the slot, but is he a guy that on third down in a nickel package you want to see on the outside? I'm not sure that we've got that player on the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where Jones could step in and make an impact in year one. Do have concerns as to where we just talked about Johnson, where Johnson, he plays maybe bigger than he is, and he plays faster than he timed. I don't know that I see Jones really playing as fast as he timed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that he turns and runs as well as, you know, maybe some of the other cornerbacks out there. Definitely a high upside. He's an intriguing prospect. might have, and he has a big ceiling. There's no doubt about it. And he too is the type of guy that you wonder if Wick got his hands on him, what he could really do with him. But you know, I do have concerns as to you know, how much of an impact he could make in year one. And we have to remember that as the Packers approach the draft this year, we're looking to win a Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes, we want to build depth at cornerback, but we need somebody who can step in and play football for the Green Bay Packers in week one this year. And we'll continue to evolve, as we saw so many of the draft picks this year, into you know, into a primetime performer come the end of the year. But the Packers need somebody who's a ready-made talent in week one this year at cornerback. And I'm not 100% convinced that Jones is ready to be that guy, you know, on day one.
What really makes me think Byron Jones has a chance to go in the first round is that he's got a couple of things going for him. He's got the ideal size you want. He has no character concerns. I mean, so right there, he's got the athletic ability in spades. I think perhaps people are sleeping on this guy just simply because he came from UConn. I mean, who watches UConn? Nobody's out there watching UConn games. So I think the public at large is maybe sleeping on him, but maybe NFL general managers aren't. I mean, he played 4 years at UConn. He is highly experienced. And on top of that, he played mostly quarterback in high school. He played his first 2 years at safety at UConn as a full-time starter. He's really hasn't been a cornerback for just these 2 years. So maybe these things, you know, where he's rough around the edges, they're just coming. And this guy could end up being the number one cornerback in this class. I don't know that for certain, but in deference to time here to continue on, Scott, your number six guy, Quentin Rollins, University of Miami, Ohio. Went from being a basketball player and in just one season was the MAC Defensive Player of the Year. That's pretty impressive.
Super intriguing prospect. Really raw, great instincts, just a natural athlete. I love how scrappy he is on the outside. You know, and he's an interesting guy. Somewhat reminds me of Casey Hayward, where I'm not sure if he finds the ball or if the ball finds him, but he sure makes plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loads up the box score. There's no doubt about it. You know, interesting because, you know, like I was saying with Jones, I'm not positive that Rollins this year can be a guy that steps in day one and makes an impact. I do see Rollins maybe as more of a slot guy than playing on the outside at this stage. I don't know that you could definitely plug a guy like Rollins in on the outside and leave him out on an island on a third and seven. But he gets up in you, he plays with confidence, and you know, I guess the word that keeps coming back to me when I think of Rollins and I watch Rollins is scrappy. He's a fighter. He's on the outside. He's a believer. He uses his hands well. He's got great footwork, and you know, I think a lot of his basketball skills really translate. I think he was a terrific defender, I believe, for Miami of Ohio, and you know, he picked up a bunch of steals, and you can see where he's got that hand and footwork, good hand and foot, you know, eye coordination, and that piece of it really translated well, it seemed, to the college game as far as football was concerned on the outside. But interesting prospect, really raw. You know, I think he could develop into a really nice cornerback, you know, playing on the inside and maybe more of a slot guy than on the outside.
Yeah, I worry about Quentin Rollins a little bit because maybe he's only a slot guy, maybe even a safety, whereas the Packers need somebody to play on the perimeter. They got enough slot guys already. Not ruling it out with Quentin Rollins. I mean, the upside is there, but you do have that little bit of hesitation with him. Just briefly, Scott, here, as we kind of roll through some of these other guys, just your off the cuff impressions on Eric Rowe.
Eric Rowe, I see him potentially as more of a safety to my eye. You know, it's and if he's going to play corner, I think he's got to be
three though.
Yeah, you know, he's big. he kind of stiff to my eye. I see him maybe as more of a Tampa 2 cover corner. I know he's got that Legion of Boom mentality of, you know, from a physicality perspective, which is attractive. But from a scheme perspective, I don't think he fits Green Bay. I think he's more of a heavy zone coverage guy. And, you know, yes, he runs a 4.3 and he's got the track speed, but you know, when I watch Eric Rowe, I'm not positive that I see that stuff turning to the football field. Maybe I'm off on Eric Rowe a bit, but I'm not as sold on Eric Rowe as some other people are. And you know, it's funny because in some ways he reminds me of a faster Stanley Jean Baptiste from last year. You know, he's got great length. You know, he's not afraid to get up on you. I'm not sure how well he turns and sees the football. And to me, I see him maybe as a little stiff, and maybe I'm off on him. But I am not as excited about Eric Rowe's prospects as other people are.
I like Rowe for some reason. Just watched his tape last night against Washington State. He breaks up this slant pattern against Washington State and takes it for a pick six. Was amazing to me. He runs a 4.3. I don't see him getting beat deep a lot. I think he can be scheme diverse. It seems to me like he can. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, your later round guys, who are your sleepers in this year's draft class as we wrap up?
You know, I really like Ladarius Gunter. He'd be the one guy that I'd put out there. You know, he's maybe a little bigger than a typical Thompson guy. I believe he's 6'2". He can run. I could make an argument that if you watch Gunter's film, and you know he's had years of experience and you know, playing for the U, and I'm partial to those Canes from my time in Miami. But you know, when he turns. He's running and he sees the football. He can also step inside. Think he could potentially play a little, you know, free safety as well, playing deep. But you know, he really runs. He sees the football. He's not afraid of contact. He's physical. You know, he's not afraid to step up and run support as well. You know, he too has made a number of plays on the ball. I think he'd be a great pick in the later rounds. And he'd be the type of player that could step in, I think, on day one on the perimeter, which fills sort of a Devon House type role. You know, he's one player that I've had my eye on for the last couple of years. I thought he played really well in the you know, in the Senior Bowl. He's just in one of the best defensive back performances in this year's Senior Bowl. I thought was Gunter, but you know, he's one guy that I would love to see in Green Bay. And would immediately step in and I think diminish the loss of Devon House this year.
FSU cornerbacks, Ronald Darby and PJ Williams, man, that hit and run accident certainly kind of sticks out as kind of like this red flag about those guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Don't see them as personality fits in Green Bay. You know, Williams is, to me, he just plays slow. I know that would he run a 4.5 in the 40, but he just plays slow and he seems like he's you know, grab, constantly grabbing, and maybe sometimes a little too passive for my liking at the line of scrimmage. It's funny because Williams is almost more physical downfield than he is at the line of scrimmage, maybe grabbing too much. But and then Darby, you know, it's just I don't see him as a personality fit in Green Bay. Kid can fly. He can run. There's no doubt about it. But with Darby, I constantly turn back to that Notre Dame performance where, you know, you've heard me talk about how does a guy perform under the lights, so to speak. And, you know, Darby to me did not shine in as well as I would like to see in big game performances. But I am not attracted to either the Florida State guys playing in Green Bay.
Scott, good talk. I know you got to run here at 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time, so we'll let you go, and we'll talk to you later.
Enjoyed it as always, Brian. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. Scott McKenna, the Talking Smack blog, joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. We're going to take a break. As I told you before, we have an interview with Jordan Rogers, former Dolphins, Buccaneers, Jaguars quarterback, coming up, brother of Aaron Rodgers. We're going to get him on the phone. Give me a minute here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central here on a Friday morning. Joining us on the phone right now, we have former Jaguars, Buccaneers, and Dolphins quarterback Jordan Rogers joining us on the phone. Mr. Rogers, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Now, around these parts, this is a show based in Wisconsin. You're known as Aaron Rodgers' brother, but I want to talk to you about the job you're doing mentoring pro quarterback prospects. I talked to Duke quarterback Anthony Boone at the NFL Combine, who mentioned you as preparing him for the draft, and that caught my attention. I thought to myself, wow, Jordan himself is barely out of college, and here he is now coaching up players. Just tell us a little bit about what you're doing here in general.
Yeah, you know, it's something I'm passionate about, playing the position. I think I got a lot of good experiences playing for three teams in the NFL, currently playing for one team in CFL. You know, I've had a variety of coaches, a variety of influences in my life, you know, most notably my brother. But I've got a good base of knowledge for the quarterback position. I think I bring that to the table. So this offseason, partnered with a company called QB Country. They're based out of Mobile, Alabama, but have locations all over, and so I'm heading up their pro player development aspect of the business, and I took on Anthony Boone this year. We started training in January, took him all the way through combine prep, and then all the way through pro day prep for his pro day in Raleigh about a week and a half ago.
Very cool. Now, with Anthony Boone, he just had his pro day just, yeah, like you said, a week and a half ago or so. How did he do in comparison to what he did at the NFL Combine?
You know, he showed what he needed to show. At the combine, didn't really run as well as we would have liked. He was around a 5 flat 40, improved on those numbers, all of his drills, ran in the 4.8s, and also really just showed what he needed to show on the field. You know, the combine as a quarterback is kind of a hit or miss. You're throwing the receivers you're not used to. So what we really wanted to focus on with him before the combine was his footwork. You know, traditionally the quarterback that played out of the gun in college, but really talented quarterback and really wanted to showcase his footwork because he's very good, and we developed that very well over a few months. We worked with him. So that was, pro day was just another opportunity to show that. We wanted to show his arm off because he's got a big arm. He's a talented kid. We wanted him to rip throws from the opposite hash, those big throws you want, you know, the GMs and the scouts to see him making. The throws that really translate to the next level is what we wanted to focus on. He did that. I think the scouts were impressed.
Now, I know one of the critiques of Anthony Boone is his height. He's only 6'0", and I don't mean to say just 6'0", but I guess in comparison, relative to other pro quarterbacks, little on the shorter side, you're not much taller. You're 6'1". Is that something you can relate to and help him overcome?
You know, absolutely. Something that you know, I've experienced. It's really more of a barrier to entry than it is a hindrance once you actually are on a team. It's one of the things that jumps out on a piece of paper, but once the quarterback gets on the field, kind of goes away. I mean, you're talking, my brother's 6'2" on his best day at the combine. Me and him look each other in the eye, and it really doesn't end up playing much of a factor as you'd think. You know, if you're a 6'7" quarterback, obviously you have a little bit of advantage with your sight view. You have a longer arm. You're able to generate a little more velocity with a little less effort. Shorter quarterback generally has to you know, with a shorter arm, has to generate a little more velocity with his lower body. But really, the big misconception about the quarterback is that you're seeing over an O-line. And really, with the O-lines averaging 6'5", 6'6", across the board, you'd have to be about 6'8", even, you know, try to see over one of those O-linemen. So really, at the quarterback position, you're seeing in between people anyway, and it's just repping that and understanding where your vision lanes are and seeing those windows. And I think he just excelled at that.
Is Anthony Boone the only quarterback you're working with right now, or is he the only, like, pro prospect? Are you working with youth players? I mean, are you just kind of taking your time, one guy now, or how does it all work?
You know, Anthony was the only pro guy I had this year, and that's kind of how I like it. You know, I want to spend a lot of time with him. We spent 2, 3, sometimes 4 hours a day, depending on what we were working on in the film room, on the field. So I like to devote a lot of time to him, but also
I'm training kids anywhere from 12 to 18 to college quarterbacks in Nashville as well as Memphis, Tennessee. Every week, a couple days, I drive there and train about 30 to 35 quarterbacks on a weekly basis there. But Anthony was my pro guy this year, and as the company I'm working with looks to extend our reach, we also have Brandon Bridge, a quarterback out of South Alabama, that my partner David Morris trained down there in Mobile, Alabama. So we had two guys this year, but I would like to, just continue focusing on one guy each year just so I can really put a lot into it.
So my lead-in question here is it your goal to be the next George Whitfield, of course, the noted quarterback guru working with Jameis Winston right now?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to have any brooms out on the field, I'll tell you that. the thing is, I enjoy playing the position of quarterback. I've learned a lot from my brother, who I think has, one of the most unique aspects is also skill sets that you're going to find. So just the base of knowledge that I've accumulated, I want to pass that along to players and help them any way I can, because I kind of took the road less traveled through my approach, not only to Vanderbilt, but also into the NFL. Been on and off rosters. I know what that process is like. I know what they're looking for. I know how hard that can be. So any service I can provide to these guys, and really just the relationship you end up building with these guys, is really priceless, and I enjoy every aspect of it, and I'd like to continue to do that in the future.
We're talking to Jordan Rogers, pro quarterback mentor for Quarterback Country here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. So you alluded to it before. Last season, you signed with the British Columbia Lions of the CFL. How are you balancing what you're doing, still trying to extend your professional playing career, with this kind of coaching gig?
Well, they go hand in hand. So I'm on the field every day, which is great. I have a ball in my hands. I'm throwing the ball on the field, showing drills, repping, situations kind of myself mentally, if not physically as well. But I also just training myself on the side, so I know what I need to do to be ready. I have a group of receivers I can throw to there in Nashville. So really it's been an easy process. I want to continue to get myself better, but also in the process, as my career is changing, and as I'll, end up changing into really a new career path as football goes away eventually, kind of just getting my feet wet into what I really want to do, when my playing career is over.
Very cool. Interestingly, British Columbia hired Jeff Tedford as its head coach, who, of course, coached Aaron in college. Are you excited to be working with Mr. Tedford?
I am. We've missed each other on two different occasions. I wasn't recruited by Cal out of college. A little disappointed about that after, the success my brother had coming out of the junior college, same junior college I played at. So didn't have an opportunity to get a chance to catch his eye, coming into college and have an opportunity to play there. And then once again, I was in Tampa, when Greg Schiano's staff was fired and the new staff brought in Tedford as the offensive coordinator. And obviously the new front office makes a lot of moves. So I was released right before Tedford came on officially with the Bucks. So we missed another opportunity to work together. So it'll be fun here on our third go around to have an opportunity to get together on the field. And, the Canadian game is a lot different. And so I'm continuing to challenge myself to learn this new game. And it'd be great to be working with Tedford. My brother has nothing but high praises for him as a coach and a person.
Yeah, I think it's really cool because Tedford, of course, when he was a player, played in the CFL. So he kind of has that experience behind him. Just briefly, what was your reaction to hearing Aaron is appearing on Celebrity Jeopardy?
Not really surprised at all. there's a lot of things that my brother will pass up, things, he doesn't necessarily enjoy having his face in the media every single day. So there's a lot of things that he'll pass up, and commercial opportunities and whatnot. But hey, Jeopardy comes knocking. That's one thing he would not say no to. He's an avid fan. I've sat many a times on the couch and just got destroyed by him in Jeopardy. I don't know where this knowledge comes from. I don't know where he accumulates it, if he's reading an encyclopedia before bed every night. But he loved that. He loved to compete. So I think that was a really fun opportunity for him.
You don't have to give away the answer, but do you know how he did on the show? Did he win? Do you know the outcome that we're all going to find out?
I do know the outcome, and you're up for a surprise and a nail biter. It'll be another good episode.
Very
of
cool. Do you have a team you're pulling for at the Final Four this weekend as we prepare to let you go here?
My bracket has Duke winning it all. I have Duke, Kentucky in the championship, but I also picked Michigan State to be in that spot. Really, at this point, I love since my bracket is completely destroyed, I just love going for the underdog. So it would be fun to see Michigan State run the table and knock off Kentucky at their chance to go undefeated, but that's just the underdog in me kind of pulling for them.
Well, I'm sure Anthony Boone wants you to pull for Duke, and Aaron would want you to root for Wisconsin.
Getting pulled from all directions here.
Exactly. Jordan,
so I guess now I got to go with Michigan State.
Okay. Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning. I definitely appreciate it. Good luck with all you're doing, from the quarterback playing to the quarterback coaching. We wish you all the best.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Jordan Rogers joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us here as well. It was a full show, from talking to Scott McKenna about the NFL draft to Jordan Rogers and what he's up to nowadays, and that was definitely very cool. So glad you could all listen. That'll do it for today's show, folks. Hey, everybody, have a great holiday weekend if you so celebrate the Easter holiday. Enjoy. We'll be back again here on Monday. My last day of writing and editing duties at Cheesehead TV today. But Railbird Central will continue indefinitely here on this platform. So we'll see you later, folks. Like I said, have a good weekend. I leave you today with a song called Best Feeling by the String Cheese Incident and Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack Go.
Set the old imagination of